church, go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, oh, what a Savior we have in Jesus. A Savior full of hope. A Savior full of grace. And a Savior full of truth. And so, Lord, that hope and that grace and that truth is what our hearts are desiring today. Because when that is the treasure of our heart, joy is ours. Peace is ours. So, Lord, we treasure you above all things. And so, Father, help us to have a life where we create healthier rhythms for our minds so that we can have different outcomes, so we can have different responses, especially in the midst of our greatest challenges that we face in our lives. Father, speak to the one today who is struggling mentally. Speak to the one who is struggling in their faith, who is wavering, who has pushed you aside and who has chased after the world. Help them to have a reigniting chasing after you so they may know you fuller, they may know you deeper, and joy and peace will be theirs. Bless us today. We thank you and we honor you and we glorify you. In Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, happy Memorial Day weekend to your church. Glad to have you guys here with us. I see the real Christians show up on Memorial Day weekend. Everybody's on their boats. Everybody is already popping and doing whatever they need to do, but we showed up here at church. Hey, before I go any further, we say hello to all of our friends who are watching online, online family, those who are watching from the boat, probably, wherever you may be. Thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us. I feel like this is a little bit strange that I have to introduce myself, but it's been a while since I've been here, and I'm seeing some new faces, so I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Jovan. Happen to be one of the pastors here at Christ Church. I get the chance to lead with our team over at our Elyria campus with Chet, Tony, and Tina. Awesome team. If you're ever out in Elyria and you want to hang out, thank you. Thank you. The only Christian today. I see you had your coffee. Good. If you're ever out there in Elyria, come out and hang out with us. But I'm so excited to be here with you guys again. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I want to acknowledge and I want to honor all of our veterans, those who have served. Thank you guys for your sacrifice. Thank you guys for your commitment. It's an honor. It's a privilege. My father was in the Navy, so, man, it's a special weekend for me as well. Also, just want to say just thank you guys just for your prayers over the Collins family. I mean, it is such a delight to just know that we have a church that when one is hurting, all is hurting. It's such a blessing. And man, I just want to say thank you guys for your prayers and your thoughts. A lot of clapping today. Oh, this is going to be a good service, huh, Sarah? This is going to be a good service. 9:30, they are alive today. Well, today we are continuing but also ending in our sermon series that we started a few weeks ago. And the sermon series is titled, The Life-Giving Mind. Over at our West Campus, we have a word that we are focusing on for the year, and it's the word healthier. How many of us in this room can admit, and watching online too, don't mean to exclude you guys, but how many of us can admit we need to get a little healthier? We need to get a little healthier. Man, I'm telling you, it's about to be exciting. Sarah, I was planning on not sweating today, but today I am going to sweat. We all can admit we need to get healthier. And the one thing that we said, and the reason why we're doing this series and many other series that are to come throughout the year, the reason why we're doing this series is that the pathway to get healthier starts in the mind. You want to change your life. One of my favorite pastors, Pastor Craig Groeschel, we've been reading his book, Winning the War in Your Mind. He has this quote. He says, if you want to change your life, you got to change the way you think. And he also goes forward and he says, hey, you know, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And I remember reading that, and I said to myself, man, that's going to stick with me. I might get a tattoo of that, because that is so true, that our lives are always heading into the direction of our strongest thoughts, because we desire to be different. But here's the thing. This series is set up Not just to have the great desire to change, but also to establish discipline. Because how many of us would admit there's one thing to desire to be changed, there's another thing to create discipline to change. There's a big difference. We have the desire. We wake up every single day saying to ourselves, man, I want to be better for my family. I want to be better for my job. I want to be better for the people that I care about. And that desire is there. But God's word helps us to create that desire, which is good, but also to create the discipline, which actually completes the change. And we've been studying Romans chapter 8. Just to let everybody know, Romans 8 is probably the most important chapter in all of the Bible. Romans itself, scholars would say, it is the Mount Everest of the Bible. It is so important. And part of Romans, not even part, all of Romans is all about creating disciplines within our mind. Remember, the Apostle Paul says, he says earlier in the beginning, he says that the mind that is set on the flesh, now when we say flesh, that doesn't mean a physical body, but the imperfect nature, the insecurity, the trauma and the wounds and all the brokenness around us. Paul says that the mind that is set on that is death. It's kind of scary, right? I don't want to have death. I mean, I know one day I'm going to die, but that's kind of scary. But Paul gives a flip. It's kind of a paradox. He says, but the mind that is set on the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, the guy that we least talk about, we love the Father and we love Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, he's like the redheaded stepchild, gets no attention. But Jesus says, when you have your mind set on him, not it, when you have your mind set on him, it's life and peace. How many of us can admit today that we want our minds to be full of a little bit more life and peace? Well, guess what? Paul is going to create, man, I'm telling you, y'all are sad today. I mean, I'm going to preach my butt off today. I'm going to take off this shirt. No, I'm joking. Because it's going to get hot. Paul is going to challenge us today how to maintain a healthy mind, how to maintain a mind full of life and peace in the midst of our challenges. Now, there's one thing that I know we all have in common. We all may have different names. We all may have different addresses. We all may have different family structure, but there's one thing we have in common, and it's this thing called challenges. We all have challenges, and they're in many forms and many different ways. You got a challenge. Those who are watching online, don't go to Joel Osteen yet. I know you want encouragement. I know you want to be encouraged with that pretty white smile, but I just want you to know, you all got some challenges, and Paul's going to talk to us and explain to us what it looks like to have a mind full of life and peace in the midst of our greatest challenge, because sometimes that's what triggers our minds to darkness, is when life is a little bit uncomfortable, life is a little bit stressful, when people are hurting, you are hurting. But Paul's going to say, hey, in the midst of all of that, through the provision of the Spirit, life and peace is still available for you. Life and peace is still available for you. Notice Paul is not going to talk about changing the circumstances, because a lot of us wish we could change our circumstances. But the scriptures are very true. There's only one who actually has a hand over all of this. And the only thing we're meant to change is the way that we think. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 35. If you have your Bibles, bring out your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, you're the real Christians. But anyway, bring out your Bibles. Just joking, guys. Those are jokes. If you want to send an email, send it to Sarah. She'll respond back. Verse 35 in chapter 8, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no. The emphatic no. One thing that my son's starting to tell me is no. And that same no, my son says, I believe Paul's saying the same no. And all these things, if you have your Bible, circle all these things. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That deserved an amen. I mean, I'm just saying, that's the powerful verse. Let me read that one more time just so everybody is awake. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Thank you. God's word is powerful. It's effective and it's living and it deserves our praise. Verse 38, he says, for I am sure, or maybe some of your translations may say, I am persuaded, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers. Verse 39, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Powerful, powerful verse. They said I got 75 minutes to preach. You guys good for an hour? Oh, I'm telling you, bro. The Spirit is alive in this room today. The Apostle Paul is giving us a Christ-informed view on pain, right? The Christian life doesn't mean it's absent of pain. I think a lot of people think that once I trust in Jesus, once I give him my life, once he becomes the Lord in my life, pain becomes absent. Let me just tell you flat out right now, and you can fact check me by reading this. That's untrue. But there's something that we discover in our pain, the love of God. That's what Paul's going to talk about today. Paul's going to talk about, hey, listen, he's going to give us a Christ-informed view of pain. And for us to have a healthier mind, it starts with us having a greater understanding of God's love. And friends, I want you to know, we experience that love even more in the midst of our greatest discomfort and pain. One of my favorite authors, Jim Collins, wrote about a guy by the name of James Stockdale. You might have heard of the Stockdale paradox. Very powerful story. And if you know James Stockdale, at one point during the Vietnam War, he was a prisoner for over 7 years, and he experienced brutal, unimaginable loneliness and terror. But while he was in prison, he noticed that his prison mates, what they would do is they had this thing called hope. And he was always a little bit skeptical of their hope. But this hope that they had was a hope that says, hey, we're going to get out next week. And then a week would go by, and they still would be in prison. And then they'll say, all right, guess what? We're going to get out next month. And then a month would go by. Guess what? They're still in prison. And then another month goes by. Next you know, years have gone by. And James Stockdale says that all those who had that type of hope died of a broken heart, and they didn't make it out alive. But Stockdale had a different approach. See, Stockdale learned this philosophy that allowed him to accept the reality. He always had a sense of like, man, we will prevail. Oh, we will see ourselves through this. But the truth of the matter is, we got to accept the brutal facts that we're here. Accept the brutal facts that, man, our circumstances stink. We're being hurt more and more outwardly. But I love James Stockdale. He says that he had to realize that he had to accept the present, that when he accepts the present, that's what actually sustains him. He believed that the real harm that could be done to himself was himself. The real harm that can be done to him was himself. Jim Collins says, the Stockdale paradox says, you must retain faith that you will prevail in the end. In the midst of your greatest difficulties, you must retain faith. And we love that. We get excited about that. We rah-rah when it comes to that. Maintain faith. Maintain hope. Have all of that. But Jim Collins would say, but at the same time, you must confront the brutal facts of the current reality. The goal is to have a mix of radical realism and relentless optimism. You see that? And you know what I see? I see the Apostle Paul. I think Jim Collins and James Stockdale stole from the Bible, just like everybody else. But anyway, I see them kind of saying what Paul has been telling us. That as we face our circumstances, that as we face our pain, that as we face our uncertainty, God calls us to have a deep trust in him. And friends, that is good. And friends, that is powerful. And as Christians, we love it. But when we drop the ball is we stay there and only there. See, what Paul does when he says in all these things, he's referring back to verse 35. He says, in all these things, in famine, in danger, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in all those things, meaning this, friends, we must accept the fact that when we are in it, we just got to say, we're in it. But you and I are alike. We like to avoid pain. Oh, now I got your attention. I thought I lost you for 2 seconds. We hate being uncomfortable. It bothers us. I once knew a guy, funny, he went to our church. Hopefully he's not watching. But anyway, he used to talk to me so close. You ever had somebody in your life, they just broke the boundaries? Like literally, he used to talk to me so close. Like, he would be coming from so far, and he would walk up, and then bam. It was like we were literally 2 inches away from it being intimate. Like, it got really, really weird. And every time I would talk to him, I would walk away. I would push away. I would be like, I don't want this. You're weird, bro. Get away from me, because I hate being uncomfortable. And like I've said, we all hate being uncomfortable in our lives. But the truth is, the Apostle Paul says that when we accept the reality of our pain, guess what? When we accept the uncomfortable feeling that our circumstances are creating, that's how we experience God's love in a more deeper, powerful, passionate way. When we choose to accept the reality, it changes everything, and it makes us more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, I think we have a bad view of pain today. You do know we serve a crucified Savior. You do know that. You do know the cross doesn't mean things were beautiful. That's where blood was shed. A body was pierced. A body was pierced. And we have the wrong view and the wrong interpretation of our pain. Number one, we say sometimes pain is bad, so avoid it at all cost. Because you and I are professional avoiders. Anything we can do to avoid our pain, keeping ourselves busy, being on our phone, doing X, Y, and Z. Sometimes not only are we professional avoiders, but we're also professional numbers. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up. Shut up. But we like to numb pain. We think that, man, this pain shouldn't be here. It's not good for me. I need to get rid of it at all cost. But friends, I want to encourage you and remind you that the pain doesn't mean something's wrong with you. Let me say that one more. Let me just let that marinate. Pain doesn't mean something's wrong with you. That means God's at work in you. And what is that work that he wants to do in you? To show his great love for you so that you and I can have a deeper trust in him. And that deep trust will encourage us to prevail in the midst of all of that. But we like ease. We want things to be easy. Believe me, there's this guy at our West Campus. He's a CrossFit dude. He, like, competes and everything. And I had the dumb idea to work out with him. He's like, hey, man, we're going to do 50 wall balls. We're going to do 70 burpees. You know, then we're going to do 29 push-ups. I'm like, that's a random number. But we're going to do all of this stuff. And literally 5 minutes in, I was ready to leave. Because I thought, hey, I'm his pastor. He's going to make it easy. And sometimes I think the same thing when it comes to my relationship with God. God's going to make my life easy. Because my life deserves to be easy. I think my life should to be easy and rainbows and butterflies. And I should be able to stay away from sickness and illness and all of that. But friends, I want to encourage you that Paul tells us that it's in the pain is that when we experience God's love the most. I just want to encourage you as we wrap up today. If you're in the greatest challenge of your life right now, I want you to do one thing and one thing only. Live from that love. You hear me? Live from that love. Because there's two tensions that are in our lives. We're either living from God's love or we're living for something else. Either we're living from God's love, which means we're rooted in that great love that he has for us, the great love that he showed for us in Christ. Either we're living from that or We're living for something. A lot of us are living for praise, perfection. Everything's got to be perfect. A lot of us are living for recognition or reward. Got to get it. A lot of us are living for acceptance. Acceptance. Approval. Making sure people see you. Making sure people approve of you. But Paul gives us a better place to live from, the love of God. And friends, I just want to encourage you, and we're about to close. Listen, I'm about to be done in like 10 minutes. You're welcome. Anyway, friends, I just want to encourage you. We have watered down the love of God. There are some people that are in this room today that are trying Christianity out for the first time. And they've heard about God's love and God's love and God's love and all this stuff. And we have watered it down to what it truly actually means. As I said before, sometimes we think God loves me. If God loves me, that means he went and let X, Y, and Z happen to me. That's a faulty way to view God. If God really loved me, he would make my life easy and he would answer every one of my prayers. Let me just stop there right now. I am a seasoned Christian. And let me tell you, I am glad God didn't answer all my prayers. Let me say that one more time. I am glad God didn't answer all my prayers. I am thankful for that. Because here's the truth, friends. We all have a faulty view of God's love. Friends, what does God's love look like? How do we define this? Can we define it with something material? Can we define it by circumstantial? How do we define this great love? And it's very obvious, it is very clear, and it's something that must, there's something we must not become absent of. If you want to love, if you want to know the love of God, look to Christ. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him for us. You want to know how much God loves you? He gave you Christ. The treasured son, the perfect son. And if he gave you Christ, what else will he give you? You want to know the love of God? You got to look to Jesus. Stop looking to your circumstances. Stop looking to people. Ooh, that hit hard. That hit hard. I'm sorry I said that. You want to know the love of God? We must look to Christ. And to live from this love, Paul gives us all these points in all of Romans 8. He says, number one, to live from this love, that means that there is no condemnation. No condemnation. The inadequacy and the shame no longer is your master. If Christ is in you, no condemnation. Because here's the thing, we all got a past. Some of us have drank a little bit too much. Some of us have used words to hurt people. Some of us, oh, I'm going there. You thought that I was just this basic preacher? I'm the honest preacher. I goes there, boo-boo. I goes there. We all got a past. And not only do we all have a past, we all have this thing called flaws. Don't you hate it when people see your flaws? Makes me uncomfortable. Don't you hate it? Because I love for people to see that I'm perfect. Jovan's got it all right. If there's two people that's perfect in the world, there's Jesus and Jovan. You laugh, but I was serious. There's two people. There's Jesus and there's Jovan. And I hate it when people see that I'm sometimes untrustworthy. Oof. I hate it when people see that I'm this or that. But in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, which means you are forgiven. Listen, all of us have hurt somebody at some point in our lives, and those people have had a hard time forgiving us, but God doesn't have a hard time forgiving you. God doesn't have a hard time forgiving you. He's like, sin? What? Talk about the sin that's up there? Oh, that's sin? Oh, that's blotted out. That's nailed. The love of God means there is no condemnation. Number two, the love of God, which means we have been adopted into a royal family. You may not like your family, and I get it. And one of the things that I've noticed, the reason why people have a hard time in relationship with God is because of the brokenness they've experienced from their loved ones. I've noticed that. In my time sitting with people have a hard time relating with God because of the brokenness we've experienced from others, because of the betrayal, because of what our dads did and didn't do, because of what our moms did and they didn't do, because of what our siblings did and they didn't do. But in Christ Jesus, he has reconciled you to the Father. And it wasn't by your effort. It was by his death and his resurrection. Which means this, if you are adopted into the family, that means God treats you like a son and a daughter. And there's one label that, friend, I want you to have today. If there's one label, if you are a follower of Jesus and you believe in his death, burial, and his resurrection, and you believe in the Holy Scriptures, there's one thing that I want you to firmly understand. When God sees you and he calls you child, because he treats you like a child. A good father that gives wisdom, a good father that gives mercy freely, often in our lives. Number three, the love of God. Living from the love of God means you are chosen. Number four, I gotta hurry up. Number four, the love of God, which means to live from the love of God, which means that God would always get his glory. We talked about this last week a little bit, or sorry, 2 weeks ago. Maybe Doc talked about it. The idea of living from God's glory. Now, what does God's glory mean? It means that God, in his perfect will, brings all things together for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus. That means that every event, every situation, God is bringing himself glory. God doesn't sleep nor slumber. He's not a God that's just up in heaven and it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was happening in your life. Let me try to fix it. Let me try to rearrange it. No, he is God who is active, and he is a God who is working. And what is he actively working? For his glory. And he's bringing all things for his purpose. And when God gets his glory, we sit back and we say, man, God is better than we thought. God is better than we thought. We thought he was a good God before. Now we say he is a perfect God. And then it inspires worship within us. The greatest truth that we never have to question is that every event leads to God's glory. It's the greatest truth you never have to question. You never have to question, is God in this? You never have to question what happened in Texas if God was in it. God bringing himself glory. But why would he allow something like that to happen? If God was getting his glory, why would he do that? You know what I say to people when they ask me that? I don't know. You want to know why? Because I'm not God. Because he said this, my ways, not your ways. And if I can predict all of God's moves, that wouldn't make him God. That would make him a broken human being like you and I. And if God isn't God, we are in trouble. But God says, I'm separate. I'm holy. The event that brings you to tears, the event, the things you don't like, God says, I'm bringing it all for my glory. But also, number five, as we close, living from God's love, which means there is no separation. Notice that Paul starts in verse 1, he says there's no condemnation. Notice that at the end of chapter 8, he says there is no separation. And in between, sandwiched in, are all the greatest truth of God's promises, of God's power, of God's presence, and all those things. And there's one thing that you need to know is that when you live from all of this, there is no separation. There is nothing you can do or what others do that can separate you from God's great love that he has for you. And friends, when we live from that blessing, it creates the life and peace that we are in. As we close, I want you to notice Paul using the word conqueror. See, it's an interesting word. Conqueror, which means one who is victorious, one who prevails. Now, to complete that meaning, we have to understand the context of it. One that prevails or one that sees victory has gone to excruciating conditions. And friends, I want you to understand this. When Paul uses this word conquer, he doesn't want you to miss that there's a war that goes on inside of you. There is a war that goes on inside of you. The war that Paul talks about is the things that we try to do on our own rather than trusting in God in the midst of everything. And in order to win the war, in order to win the battle, we must engage in it. Because here's the thing, the greatest problems you will face is not everybody else, but it's yourself. And Paul says, we are more than conquerors. That means this, that we must engage in this battle. Engage in it from the love that God shows us, the love that empowers us, the love that pushes us, the love that encourages, the love that shows us that we're children and we're chosen and we're redeemed and we're forgiven and all of that. That is the greatest treasure in my life. And if I have all of that, then friends, I can move forward. You are a conqueror when you live from that love, from this love. But we must engage. I want you to know that your circumstances doesn't mean God doesn't like you. A lot of us think that sometimes. God's punishing me for what I did back in college. Like, bro, that was 13 years ago. Like, come on. God's punishing me for what I did back then. God's doing all of this. No, friends, God's not punishing you. God is working in you. And what is he working in you? His great love that he has for you. This love is a love that can never be fully defined. Why? Because it's too deep, it's too wide, and it's too vast to contain it. It's a love that he wants you to be imprinted with and marked with. There is a war that goes on in our minds. And you can either fight or you can flee. A lot of us like fleeing. A lot of us like hiding. Paul says, when you fight and you engage, the love of God empowers you further. Let me say a prayer. Heavenly Father, there is the truth to today's message is that we need to truly comprehend the love that you have for us. Heavenly Father, we need to truly come to terms that your love that you have for us is deep, and it's vast, and it's wide. And Lord, I pray that we can lean towards trying to comprehend that great love so it can bring light and bring wisdom and bring knowledge within us. And it can empower us as we face our most excruciating circumstances. Because you said this, there's one thing that we would never lose. And that's your love. So help us to cling to that. Help us to be rooted in that. Not the love of the world, not the love from others, but the love from above. God, help us as we face, as we come to our coming week, as we face our week, help us to be rooted in this great love. Help us to be people that are chasing for other things to get love. Help us to be reminded that we are loved. And that because there is no separation, there is no condemnation, there is adoption, we are chosen. Your glory will always be revealed. Because of all of that, we become conquerors in all that we face. Lord, this life is hard. But without you, it's excruciating. This life is difficult, but without you, there's no hope. So we come to you asking you to reveal your great love for us so it can be hope within us and it can give us a mind of life and peace today. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Christ's perfect name is who we pray. Amen.